Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and my guest today is Dr. Martin Goldman, who has been a dentist for a great many years in the San Francisco area and has recently completed a three-year training program to become an Alexander Technique teacher. And this is actually our third conversation, but we just completed one that was aimed at providing some specific suggestions for dentists and dental assistants and dental hygienists and really anybody who works in sort of odd postural configurations doing precise work. And we're going to basically continue with the conversation we just had. Martin provided, I'm calling him Martin because we're buddies. Martin provided a number of very specific suggestions, and he has a few more, and we might want to elaborate a little bit on some of the ones he talked about in our previous conversation. So, Martin, welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much.
And I know you have, I think, three specific ideas that you wanted to talk about that are in addition to our previous conversation. But I would like to jump in and talk a little, elaborate a little on something you mentioned in our last conversation, which is basically the idea that our arms and shoulders are really our arms are not something separate from our shoulders, and that the actual connection, the only real bone-on-bone connection between our shoulder girdle and our torso is where our clavicles meet our sternum. And there are actually, there's a joint on either side of our sternum at the top. And what I've found, just to elaborate on what you talked us through in the last podcast, was that if you take, say, your right hand, right fingers on your right hand, and run them along your left, not sternum, clavicle, your left clavicle, and follow it in till it, you reach a little bump, basically, which is the joint with the sternum, and just leave a finger gently touching that bump and then move your left arm around, you'll immediately feel movement there. And for many, many Alexander students that I've worked with, that's a huge revelation. And it completely changes, once they incorporate that knowledge into using their arms, it completely changes the way they use their arms. I think most of us have an idea that there's the arm that comes up to the torso, and there's the joint there, and then everything else is torso. But really, it's quite different from that. So I just wanted to add that bit of body mapping to what we had talked about before. And is there anything else you want to say about arms and shoulders while we're on that topic?
Just the idea that a lightness, that there's more, to, you're working with your fingertips, but as you say, don't become tight when you don't need to. There can be openness emanating all the way from midline. So that's about it.
Okay. And now you had, I believe, three other specific suggestions.
Oh, yes. The first thing I'd like to talk about is a pretty broad topic. You could go any number of different directions while discussing this, and that's the breath. The breath is almost like what a canary in the coal mine. If your breath is constricted and you're only capable of taking shallow breaths, then you know that somewhere in your musculoskeletal system there's a compression or a constriction, or you're off balance. So to be aware of one's breath is a good idea. Alexander Technique, other than what's called the whispered awe procedure, really doesn't teach breath exercises, the majority of Alexander teachers, but you'll find that an awareness of your breath without trying to control it will lead to a more rhythmic, easier breath for yourself. And amazingly, I noticed this while I was a dentist, and I would sit with patients' heads resting pretty much in my lap, and they would be close now, I realized, to my solar plexus. And I came to this realization that I, just by being aware of my breath, that my breath, you know, a lot of times when there was something particularly stressful that was happening, my breath would become more shallow, or if I was at a particularly important part of a procedure, I might even be holding my breath, you know, while I'm making a final bevel on a line angle or trying to work a file around the curve of a canal, I might be holding my breath. So my suggestion would be to just have an awareness of while you're breathing without any idea of controlling it. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that your patients will often mimic this more easeful breathing pattern, and they'll seem more compliant and relaxed in the chair.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in terms of being aware of your breath, or aware of your breathing, I think one, you can obviously just be aware of the air coming in and out, but you could also very gently focus on movement within your torso, wherever you happen to notice it, that's clearly breathing related, and just notice it. And as you say, not trying to control it or fix it or anything like that, but just noticing it makes a huge difference in most cases.
Yes, yes.
So, okay, there's tip number one. Tip number two.
Well, you know, this might seem strange advice for a dentist, but you really will benefit from allowing your own jaw to be free while you're working. Mm-hmm. There are certain parts of the body which are general, like filters for tension. And one of those places that people will identify with, somebody who's tense usually has really tense shoulders. And another commonly identifiable body posture or way muscle set is if people are tense, their jaws will also be tightly held, and you can even sometimes see muscles bulging on the side of people's jaws while they're concentrating on a task. And there's a direct correlation between a tight jaw and a tight neck. And it's easily demonstrated. If the listeners would want to try this, they can put their hand gently on the back of their neck and then bring their jaw to what they might think of being as a tense held position. You know, they might even just think a thought like, oh my God, I've got to hurry up. And you can feel, most people can feel an immediate, there's a direct link between the tight jaw and the tight neck. In fact, I like to think of that as opposite ends of the same rubber band. You can't have a free jaw if you have a tight neck, and you can't have a free neck if you have a tight jaw. Mm-hmm. So while you're working, let your jaw you'll recognize, the person who's not a dentist might not recognize this phrase, but come to the physiologic rest position where your jaw is not being actively closed and not being actively opened. This is a zone, a rest zone, where if you can allow yourself to be in this position, we talked in the other podcast about how the first instruction we as Alexander teachers give is to allow your neck to be free. And you're going to find that working at the chair is so much easier while you're if you can allow your neck to be free. So that's just tip number two, would be to realize the connection between a tight jaw and a tight neck.
And if I could just jump in here for a second, you could also think of allowing your jaw to be free. You could address your attention in your jaw directly by that simple thought. And I think it's also really important for everyone. I mean, I think dentists certainly know that the joint between the jaw and the head is not a hinge joint, but I'm not sure that they necessarily put that knowledge into practice. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yes.
The nature of that joint. It's awfully easy to think it's a hinge joint, but if you think of it as a hinge joint, you're going to be putting a lot of extra pressure on it.
I'd like to, this is not just a visualization, but this is a documentable fact that when people are opening in a free and easy arc, when they let their mandible, their lower jaw open, that the axis of rotation is not in the temporomandibular joint, not in that, I'll call it for sake of convenience, ball and socket joint there, although it's a lot more complicated than that. But the true axis of rotation is, if you would again locate where your atlanto-occipital joint is, that if you come down underneath your ears to a little depression with one finger on each side of your neck, right under your ears, and imagine a rod connecting. If you can think of the chewing surfaces of the teeth as they open, that is the radius of an arc coming out to the incisive edge of your lower front teeth. And your jaw opens and closes around where actually C1, the atlas joint, rests atop C2. There's what's called a projection called a dens. It's a tooth-like structure, which is appropriate for this discussion. But anyway, where the dens of C2 extends up through C1 is exactly where the true axis of rotation is. And if you would want to think about opening your jaw as the rotation coming from your TMJ, and you'll feel tight and constricted there, now as just a way to compare, visualize a point going through your C1, C2, and imagine, not only imagine, but realize that is the true axis of rotation when you open and close your lower jaw. And you'll find that the opening and closing movement is so much more easy.
Right. And again, following up on our talk in our last podcast, it's a case of bringing your concept of, in this case, where a movement takes place into line with the actual reality of your physical structure.
That's right. You need to have an accurate body image in order to inform movement in a beneficial way. The way you think of your body has to have some bearing with reality. It's not necessary for the average Alexander Technique student to know the names of every body part, but just to know how one part relates to another in an accurate way goes a long way towards being able to release unnecessary tension.
Mm-hmm. I would say, just offhand, that there are maybe somewhere between 8 and 10, 12 maybe, key relationships in your body that are worth paying a little learning about, let's say.
I actually, that leads me to the name of my practice, why I named it that. It's called Poise Point. Uh-huh. And I like to think of these 10 to 12 important areas that you just mentioned as places where you can have poise, both in the sense of potential movement and poise in the sense of elegance and grace if you move in an open and easy way. And
And for anyone who wants to follow up on this on their own, even without an Alexander teacher, there is sort of, I guess we could call it a sub-branch of the Alexander technique called body mapping. And there's a whole book that will basically talk you right through all of those key joints. Head, neck certainly would be one of the keyest of the key, but the jaw, head, the shoulder, torso, hip joints, ankle joints, how the arm functions, how the elbow joint functions, for example, is pretty crucial. So, do you have yet another tip for us?
Satchel Paige used to say, don't look back, somebody might be gaining on you. But right. I'd like to offer an opposite suggestion. It's we in Alexander world call this back awareness. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's doing a task that's in front of them runs the risk of becoming forward directed and not being even aware of your back. But to maintain a dynamic posture, I hate to use the word posture, but a dynamicism while you sit, a certain buoyancy, you need to have awareness of your body as how it could be wide, not only in a side-to-side dimension, but also in a front-to-back dimension. So as you're sitting there working at the dental chair, to have an awareness of your back, you don't have to do so much about it, but just realize that your body is not only in the front, not only in the back, but you're a three-dimensional creature. And to have that awareness leads to a lighter way of being, a lighter way of using yourself. So if you wanted to just do a little down and dirty trick of imagining that somebody is coming from behind, and you might even have a sensing organ in your back that you could feel them coming towards you, and then balance that out with your forward task, I think that's another tip that I think will work for you.
Right. I mean, another way of saying all that, I think, is that the temptation in doing a kind of precise work that a dentist does is to focus all of their attention, particularly their visual attention, on one area. And what you're saying is that you do that at quite a cost to the rest of you. And so don't forget your back, even though it doesn't seem to be directly involved with what you're doing. And
Can I offer one more bonus thing? Talking about keeping yourself at as wide and as broad as you can comfortably be. When you're working as a dentist, the only thing about working in a reflective surface of a mouth mirror is that it gives you, you're holding the instrument in your right hand that you're working with, and your mirror is held in the left hand. So it's easy then to have some idea, vision of being broad. But if you're working with direct vision, say on the lower arch, and you're only working with one hand, it really helps to place your other hand, just the tip of your hand, a light touch on something that gives you an awareness of your left side as well as your right side as you're working. Mm-hmm. People say, well, how can I be thinking about all these things at the same time I'm thinking about a complex task? But how I answer that is that you're pretty much always aware of where the back of your right hand is without giving it a great deal of thought. You can, through practice and through just a gentle experimentation, a good-natured experimentation, pretty soon that can become your background field to become more and more aware of where you are in space. We call that a kinesthetic awareness, and that's another benefit of Alexander technique, is it helps you gain this kind of self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very light awareness we're talking about here.
Yeah,
it's not,
yeah, just
it's
like
not
a
concentration or anything of that.
I like to think of it just like a background hum that you can be here and there at the same time.
Well, I think that might be good for our second podcast or our third podcast, I guess. What do you think?
How quickly you forget it's our fourth, Robert.
Is it our fourth? It's our fourth podcast.
That's right.
I can't end without just elaborating a little bit on your comment about posture before, because many, many people think that the Alexander technique is about good posture, and in fact, it is. But it's also true that Alexander teachers are very wary of the word posture. And I think we need to just explain that, the way I put it is the word posture used to be both a verb and a noun. And today, when it's used as a verb, it has sort of a negative connotation. But the problem with the word for most people is that it's seen as a noun, as a position.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not what we're interested in. We're interested in a dynamic posture, if you like, a posture in movement, a posture that incorporates breathing, which is movement. And I think that's the reason Alexander teachers are very wary of that word. And all you have to do is say the word good posture or bad posture to someone and see how they react to it. And you'll see right away it's an idea about holding themselves in a certain way. And that is most definitely not what we Alexander teachers are about. So I just had to get that little rant off my chest before we concluded our interview. So do you want to add anything to that, or is that...
No, I think it just added the exclamation point.
Anyway, well, thank you so much. My guest today has been, again, Dr. Martin Goldman, who's been a dentist for many years and is now also an Alexander Technique teacher in the San Francisco area, the East Bay area of San Francisco. He specializes, I believe, in TMJ issues these days. And we'll put a link to his website next to the interview. If you're in that area, definitely, and you have TMJ issues, get in touch with him. Martin, thank you so much for being on the show again today.
I really enjoy it. Thank you.